Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. If there's still youth, you are welcome, 13 to 18 years, to go out to the youth center and appear, and Janine will get you that side. Anyone there, you're welcome to go. Praise God. Are you ready for the word this morning? All right. Thank you, Father, for your word as well, that it will come and liberate us and build us in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, I'm going to speak on, as we are still busy, they can just continue, but let's start. And we're going to have communion together as well today as a family, as the body of Christ. And I want to speak on a New Testament model this morning about a family model where God speaks on true sons occupy. True sons occupy. And I mean, you've heard this word about we need to occupy, isn't it? Jesus said it, I'm going to get now in the book of Luke. He says, occupy until I come. So my question is, what is our responsibilities to occupy? What do we need to do? One translation says, do business until I come. So what is it, as we are called as a body of Christ, what is it that we need to do if he says, occupy and do business? So what practically do we need to do? What does it look like? And hopefully today I can break it down a little bit on what it looks like practically for us to do. Are you ready? Sure. All right. So let's start it right at the beginning again, just to get a foundation. Remember in the book of Genesis, God comes, he made Adam and Eve, and he said that they have to rule, to reign, have dominion, and they have to work the garden. And we know that word work is a word for worship. So their work was their worship. And what we're trying to do, what we're saying with Be Church is to be the church. What we're saying to with the slogan Form to Function is that God calls each and every one of us. God calls you and has a mandate for you. The church is not just the pastor. It's we. Come on, it's us. We are the body of Christ. So there's a part, there's a function that God calls you to. What is it that God calls you to? Are you occupying and doing business with that what God has given you? Are you occupying the space God has granted you? Your garden, are you faithfully working your environment? Remember, he's given us dominion, the earth, to rule and reign. But because of sin, we've lost our disobedience, we've lost it. But Jesus came through the death of Jesus. He came to restore us back as sons. And that's actually what I want to speak about. I want to touch on two things. Choose sons, occupy. So there's a part of occupying, and there's a part that you need to understand as a son of God. The Bible says that we all have been adopted into sonship. So if you're struggling to understand or not fully occupying it, there's something of your revelation, something of your identity as a son of God that needs to tie to your heart, that you need to root and to anchor so that you can move in that fullness. Because Jesus comes as he enters his very first sermon, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom has come. So he restores back the kingdom. Remember when he prays or asks, the disciple says, teach us how to pray. Then he comes, he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a pattern, there's a template. It says, whatever is in heaven needs to be made manifest here on earth. Now we are all called according to the grace. In other words, we are all called to certain things. You are called to something. Even in the book of Nehemiah, a while back, as we said, we are all called to something. We are all called to build and restore something. God has given us different domains and authorities and positions and anointings to do this. Pastor Eckhart last week ministered so powerfully that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. He said, don't hide behind your gift, but it's the anointing that you carry that does the work. Come on. So he says, the kingdom is at hand. In other words, the kingdom, that what you've lost, That what was the original intent, that is how you're supposed to work and to make manifest and rule and reign and have dominion. That which you've lost, it has come again. Because repent means to twofold. He says, turn 180 degrees, walk in the opposite direction, but also it's epistrepho and metanoia. There's a renewing of mind. In other words, change your thinking. We've been thinking in one way, and the word says, as a man thinks, so he is. So he says, you've been thinking wrongly, so change your thinking. The kingdom is here. That what is your place and your position, and start walking in that. Does it make sense? So the kingdom mandate is to occupy and to reign. And the Greek word, pragmateomai, says to do business, trade, gain by investment, and engage in practical activity. Practical activity. That's why we say, what does it look like for us? It's not just a spiritual thing. Practical application. Because God says what? Don't just be merely listeners, be doers. Otherwise, we just deceive ourselves. So there's an action. It's in the doing. And what he says here about to do business, to trade, to gain by investment, engage in practical activity means that when he gave the authority and the dominion back to us and says, in me I've restored things, he doesn't mean that we just need to give our biggest effort just to maintain the fort or hold the fort. He doesn't say that. He says actively occupy, multiply that what was entrusted. And what was entrusted to us? Spiritual gifts, influence, resources, dominion, the gospel. We've been given so many things, and he says, work that, multiply it. Occupy means to take territory and to maintain it under the control or the authority of Christ's kingdom. To maintain it under that place. So he said, I restore back the kingdom. Now go and have dominion. Occupy that what I've given you and keep that under my domain. Keep it under my authority. Keep it under my influence. Amen? So we have to receive and then keep, maintain that thing. To reign means to govern life and culture. Important things. Life and culture in alignment with God's word and God's spirit. So our mandate for kingdom is to reign, to have dominion, and to occupy. So that's part of your calling. Say, that's me. That's who God called you to be. He didn't say, try your very best or just some. That is what God, remember, sonship is about identity. You need to know who you are. So God has placed this very thing to rule and to reign and to occupy within you. Doesn't the word says in Genesis, as he said, work the garden, it says he gave seeds, and each seed produces according to its kind. You produce after your kind. But you, say me, are produced after a kind. That means that you are in its image and likeness, so you are produced after a pattern. That's who God is. And as sons, he says, I didn't leave you as orphans, but I came, and by the Spirit, you were adopted into sonship. Come on. That should make you jump. You are adopted. In other words, God reminds you of who you are. He says, I want to tell you again that you are a son, and that means part of your DNA, what God has placed within you, the seed that needs to produce after your kind is to occupy and to reign. It's within you. That's why I say they're going to seek for the kingdom here and there and up, and we're going to do all these things, and some jump from conference to conference and course to course. He says, but the kingdom is within. That's where it is, within us. So start living, take territory and maintain it under his authority. Second part is, as we have a responsibility as the body of Christ. He spoke about tithes and offerings, but there's one of our responsibilities to occupy and to truly, as sons, live and move our beings, is that we need to be stewards of the resources and the gifts that God has given us. So Luke 19, Matthew 25, various versions of the of the parables, but Luke 19 speaks of the talents or the minas. And he said, verse 12, therefore a nobleman, so he tells a parable, but it's actually about him as the king and Jesus leaving and coming back. And he says, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. So he's telling a parable about actually him as the king giving us grants and gifts and talents. And he says, as I go away, you have to do business. You have to work the very thing that I've given you. And I'm coming back, and then there's going to be an account of what you've done with what I've given you. We're all on the same page. It's to illustrate something of the kingdom to us. And what God says here in this is, part of us as sons that occupies the church is called to invest what God gives us. Your time, finances, your skills, relationships, spiritual gifts. It's for His kingdom. He says, don't bury what God has given you. Use. Live it out. Remember one translation or one parable about the two and the four talents. He says, one buried his talent because he was afraid. And he says, I know you're a harsh master, and you even sow, or you take where you even haven't sowed. And so I was afraid and I buried it. He says, plek sit gegaan, and you put it in the bank, and I could have get some interest on it. So what do you use? God says, use. We have to God has anointed you so that it can do something, so that it can work for His kingdom. God wants us as the church to manifest His kingdom, to live in the fullness. In other words, let's look at it practically. God wants to use your profession, your influence, your creativity, even your daily work as worship for His kingdom and for His kingdom expansion. Give me one amen. Have you heard what I'm saying? God wants to use your profession, your place. Because if we say, we had to do some renovations and some alterations at the house we bought to get the sale through. And we have one guy, Christopher, who comes to build. And he said this to me, and I enjoyed what he said. He said that he could have built a business. He could have expanded and do things, but God told him that his model should be for discipleship. So what he does is he's taking people that's maybe not that skilled, and he gives them a job opportunity as he gets jobs, but that's his model for discipleship. So his business is not to grow larger and to build his own thing. His business is the vehicle for discipleship. He teaches the guys and he equips them, and maybe they go and do their own business, but he sows a seed into them. He plants the word into them. He digests it. He asks, do you understand? Do you have knowledge? Do you need questions? Whatever. And he disciples them. So your place where God placed you is a tool for discipleship, to advance the gospel. Doesn't Matthew 28 says the Great Commission? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And we think it's just one or two guys' responsibility. If I can aim at something, it's your identity, and that God calls each one of us to respond. Each one. In other words, our business is to make disciples. If He says, occupy, do business until I come, He says, make disciples, teach them, train them, not just converts. Evangelism, mentoring, teach them the word, teach them how to raise godly families, spread the message of the kingdom into all nations. God calls you to something. Your place, your workplace, your profession is what God calls you in. bringing, and the assignment is to bring kingdom culture to earth. Matthew 5, 13 to 16 speaks of salt and light. He says that we are the salt and we are the light. Isn't it? You can say, yes, it is. And in the same way, verse 16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father. In other words, what he says is, you need to shine your light so that others may see your good works, not your good works, my good works. God has, the word says, walk according to the works that he has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. So there's things God has designed you to walk in even beforehand. And he says, you walk in those works so that people can see that and then glorify the Father. You are called a salt and light. In other words, occupying means to shape culture with kingdom values. Building a kingdom culture. Let me read just the definition again of what kingdom is that you can understand. Kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory. He's impacting it with his will, his purpose, his intent. And then by that, he produces us a citizenry of people that express his culture and reflect his nature therein. All right, so in other words, he's giving us something, and we, because of image and likeness in that sameness, we start to become a people that reflect that nature and that culture. There's a certain culture of heaven. And our mandate is to start as in heaven, so on earth, to start influencing earth with the culture of heaven. We said, day of Pentecost, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven that filled the room. There's a sound, the word sound is echo. There's an echo of heaven. Echo means if I say something, it comes back, isn't it? Hello, 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 man. Actually, I would say goodbye, 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 goodbye. So, echo of heaven. In other words, there's a language of heaven that God gives you. Are you echoing the sound that heaven is releasing so that it can come on earth? Occupying means to get the blueprint. Hebrews says that the tabernacle on earth is just merely a pattern of that what is in heaven. So there is something, there's a resemblance of that which is in heaven that comes and needs to manifest on earth. But are you tuned in? Because the secrets belong to the sons. In other words, you will not have the blueprint and the pattern if you're not a son. If you're walking like an orphan, you're going to have a wrong thinking. Repent, think differently, for the kingdom has come. So God's challenging us to understand our identity and to start occupying the thing that is given us. The dominion to flow out of you. Practically, that do we stand in righteousness and in judgment and justice for the society? Are you building business or arts or the education or wherever? Are you building it on leadership and kingdom principles? Or are we following a world system? Are we influencing government or media and communities with truth and love? People say so often, the church needs to do, the church is responsible, the church needs to be a voice. We say that. Church needs to be a voice in the government, the church needs to be a voice. But who's the church? Us. Church is not the pastor alone. The church consists of us. And how do we, us, how are we a voice in government? Well, maybe you are working in government. That's your part. You need to be a voice. Maybe you work in the media. That's your part. It's your dominion that you need to occupy and influence with the kingdom. Can you see that? The Bible says, when each part of the body functions properly, the body can build itself up in love. God calls us to function properly. And so often we point fingers and say, the pastor or the church, we need to do this, but you are part of the church. If you are in a certain business area or an environment, God wants you to influence. God wants you to have dominion and to establish the kingdom there. God calls us to pray and spiritually reign. Romans 5:17 says, For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, he says, reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. So what he says, Paul, actually here is that by one man sin has come, but through one man, Jesus, now we are restored so we can rule and we can reign in this life. You can reign in this life. Doesn't Ephesians 2 says we are seated in heavenly places with him? There's a place. So practically he says you have to rule in this life. That you have to intercede. But are you? Do you have a heart for the nations, leaders, for family? Are you exercising your authority that God has given you? Luke 10 verse 19. Jesus sends the 72 out and he says, go out two by two. And they come back and they rejoice because demons are subject to them. And he says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. But are we as a church walking in that dominion and all authority over the enemy? God has given us that. Do you understand it? Do you grasp it? God has given you authority. There's a place to walk. One of the ways that we need to occupy is that we need to prepare the church because we are the bride of Christ. And he says, Ephesians 5:27 is that he says that he, Christ, might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So part of our job to occupy is to make sure that the body of Christ is mature, to make sure that we are united, radiant in holiness. Practically, we need to strengthen churches. We need to stand together. We need to disciple believers to maturity. We have to walk. You have to walk in humility and love. You see that there's practical things. You guys are very stiff and quiet. God calls us. What does it look like practically? Well, if you call to business or in the workplace, to occupy means that you need to build with integrity. Are you treating employees fairly? Are you maybe using profits to bless communities or missions? That's what it practically looks like, is to occupy, is to use the resources and the gifts and the things that God has given you to make an impact, to go and change things, to establish the atmosphere, the sound, the environment, the culture of heaven. That's what God calls. In your family. In your family, it means to raise godly children, to help them to become godly men and women, to build households of prayer, to establish a foundation of truth in their lives. In ministry, it can be that we need to train others, not hoarding the gifts and holding back, but we need to multiply leaders. We need to establish, we need to train and release. In society, he says that we need to engage in justice, support the poor. You have to be a prophetic voice in this culture. Are we saying what God says? Are you releasing a certain sound? Or are you waiting for somebody to release a sound? Are you releasing the sound or are you waiting? Maybe the next guy will do it. Maybe that one who you think is prophetic is going to do it. Maybe God's waiting for you to release the sound he's given you. Are you releasing that? There's a spiritual life where we need to occupy. There's daily prayer, there's worship, there's hearing God's voice, releasing his presence where you go. Are you doing that? Are you faithfully occupying that what God has given you? Because he said, occupy until he comes. Do business until he comes. So what's in your hand? What has God given you? Are you stewarding that what God has given you? Are you actively engaging in kingdom business to multiply what God has entrusted to you? Are you influencing? In other words, when he speaks of occupying until he comes, he says it's an active thing. He says, don't retreat, don't hold back. It's not something that's passive. It's something that expands. It's something that moves. And he says, do this until I return. Maybe some of you are tired. Maybe some of you feel like we cannot move forward. But he says, you have to occupy the place that I've given you. You have to steward and be faithful. So that's the one part I want to touch and then just focus a bit on sonship. So let's just look at the two, because to faithfully occupy, it can only manifest through true sons. It can only come when you understand your sonship and that you are called. So let's look at a pattern. Amos 9 verse 11 and 12 says, he prophesies, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. And we have this same in the book of Acts 15. So there's an Old Testament prophecy. And then in Acts 15, we repeat, they actually quote Amos 9, which says, Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it was written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent or the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who call by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. So they sit with a debacle here, because now suddenly God's Spirit is falling on the Gentiles, and they thought, us as Jews are the only chosen nation. And they come and they remind them of the promise of Amos, and the prophecy, and says that he says, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, and he says, I will gather from all nations and all the heathen who are called by my name. So he comes and he says, this was prophesied that it's all nations that will come to him. We are called as a royal priesthood. Come on. We are all, New Testament pattern is a royal priesthood. And if we look at the pattern after the order of the tabernacle of David, he highlights sonship. When David restored the tabernacle and built something, this is how he have done it. David organizes the people and he says, 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1, he says, David and the chiefs of the service set apart for the service the sons of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun, who prophesied with lyres and harps and cymbals. And the list of those who did the work and of their duties was this. 1. The sons of Asaph, and then he tells them, under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Listen to the order. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, and he tells them, and he says, under the direction of their father, who prophesied with lyre and thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Verse 6. They were all under the direction of their father, in the music and in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, harps, lyres, and service for the house. And Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman was under the order of the king. And the number of them, along with their brothers, who were trained in singing and were skillful, was 288. So it's clear here, the book of Acts is the book of Acts is the formation of the New Testament church. The New Testament church is forming, and he says, according to this pattern, because they quote in Acts what's happening. And he says, the tabernacle of David will be restored. And what he's saying is that God is restoring a pattern for the New Testament church to function. And his intention was this. He says, I will gather from this and from all nations and the heathen. The intention of the New Testament model for the tabernacle of David to be restored was that all nations will worship God together. That there will be no separation unto God. Very distinct, orderly. Orderly in its establishment. Acts 2:17 says what? Quotes Joel. And it shall come pass in the last days that God declares that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. That's the amplified, divine granted appearances, dreams from God. But I shall pour my spirit on all flesh. This was according to the pattern of the tabernacle of David. There's a link between the restoration of the tabernacle of David, which is the New Testament order of sonship. Why? Because as a son, you are called as a royal priesthood. We are all priests, kings before Him. That's what the Word says. And you need to understand that you are called to service. And biblical sonship is tied to worship, order, inheritance, a father-son pattern. Do you see the pattern of what David has done when he built it? He says, I've set Jeduthun, Asaph, I've set him a father, and he takes his sons, and under the direction of the king. So we are called, there's fathers, there's sons, under the direction of the king. And there's a pattern of how He restores worship and order and inheritance. We all serve in the temple of God because we are called as a royal priesthood. So let's look at how it happens. We're not far from done. What's true biblical sonship? At the heart of sonship, it's not merely being a child of God, because of creation, you're not just a child of God. It means, sonship means you become a mature heir who carries the Father's heart, the authority, the purpose. You're not just by default a son of God because you're born again. You are an heir. There's something that you need to do. The Greek word, heuthesia, means the placement of a son, to place you. So Romans 8:15, Galatians 4, Ephesians 1, all speaks of us being adopted into sonship. And remember, he speaks to the Roman Empire, or to that who was the authority of the day. The culture of the day was this, that they didn't adopt babies because they were ashamed, they were fatherless, they were orphans. They adopted adults to inherit a certain position, wealth, status, political influence. That's how they adopted. It's to change and to bring you into something. So what God says is, you were like an orphan, you were lost, but I came to save you, and I brought you into the adoption as sons of God, back to your place, to inherit what? His status, His position, His image, His likeness. You need to shift your mind this morning that you're not just by merely being a child because now you're a child of God. No, He's given you something according to the seed that's within you. You are producing, but you cannot produce if you don't know what you are. You need to know. Remember Mufasa? It's so wonderful. When Simba is so confused, he doesn't know what to do, and Rafiki takes him to the river. And he touches the water, and suddenly Mufasa's image appears. And what's the words? Remember who you are. Remember who you are. So I want to tell you this morning, you have to remember who you are so that you can produce according to the seed. You are a son. And what it says here is that the word son is technon, which means a child. But that's not being positioned. So it doesn't use the word technon. You're not a child. You are an heir. There's a placement of something that God does. The Hebrew word for son means Ben. That's why it's Benjamin, son of my Rand, and Ben Uni, Ben. And Ben means this, the builder of the family name or house. The builder. Sons build. So if we are adopted as sons into the kingdom of God, how does occupation manifest? It's through the sons. occupying can only come if you understand that you've been adopted as a son, because sons build the family or the house. So even if you want to see the house of God expand, you need to understand that you are a son in the house and that God calls you. Your function is to build what God entrusts to you. Whether it's in government or media or wherever your sphere of influence is, as a son, a royal priesthood, according to the tabernacle of David, God calls you and say, you have to build. You have to expand. There's a job to do. Come on. So sonship is not passive. It's about building and carrying forward the Father's house and purposes. That's what God calls you, to carry forward His heart, His purposes. So true biblical sonship means that there's a maturity that needs to come. There's responsibilities that you carry. There's an inheritance that you share in. There's a reflection of your Father's image. Son means also reflection or example of. That's why they say Jesus, Son of God, means that Jesus was perfect example of God. It means example of. So if you are called into the adoptions as sons, He says, I call you into the perfect example of the image and the likeness that you were created in. Come on. I hope that something stirs inside, and maybe that ons daai torretjie terugklim en begin werk. So let's look at the pattern of tabernacle, the pattern of the tabernacle of David and sonship. Because the New Testament quotes Amos, and he says, what happening? He says, under the Spirit, he says there's a restoration of worship, there's a restoration of order, of prophetic function. And in the New Testament, he says David and the tabernacle is a picture of how the New Testament church should function under sons and under fathers. So he says that we need to restore the order of worship, the order of an order and the prophetic flow and all these things. The sons, he says, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons were separated for service. In other words, sons did the work. Sons are not consumers. We're not consumers, come on. We're active ministers. So when God calls you and He says, I bring you into adoption as sons, He says, I don't call you to consume, I call you to actively participate, to minister in the house. That's why He says, use your gift, your talent, that what God has given you. In other words, He says, you carry your Father's DNA. And I call you to active service is to let that DNA build and go forward and multiply that it can establish. We've spoken it this morning in intercession. It says that there's a lot about occupation and sonship and these things. But where do we see the multiplication? Well, yeah, sons carry the Father's DNA and is the one who is able to multiply in service. So multiplication comes when the sons start to activate and the sons start to walk in their purpose. When sons start to take up, because son means to build the house or the family name. So if you build, it means that multiplication happens when you take your sonship. But the Bible says that we are like orphans. But Jesus comes and He says, I didn't leave you as orphans. But by my Spirit you can cry, Abba Father. Daddy, God wants to restore something in your heart to understand. So sons function in order, under covering, submitted to the King Himself. That was the pattern. Sons or fathers with their sons, He says, under the direction of the King. Fathers with sons under the direction of the King. We are a father and mother to this church. They're sons. But we are under the direction of the King. But we are all, as sons of God, called to move forward and to multiply and to expand that what He has given to us. There was an apostolic fulfillment. Why? Because the restored tabernacle means it's a house of worship without barriers. Jews and Gentile could serve in unity. One thing about the tabernacle of David, which was different than Moses, we'll get there now, is there was no veil. I'm going to read one scripture here and go to the last point. Ephesians 1:5 says, in love, come on, say in love, he predestined us. Predestined means he has done it, predestined you for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus according to the purpose of his will. You've been predestined to the adoptions as sons. God calls you. Galatians 4 says, for when the set time, the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son, and a son, then an heir through God. Something needs to shift in your heart this morning. That you are not just a slave. You are called into sonship. And that means you have an inheritance. But there needs to come maturity. There needs to come fullness, responsibility, order. In other words, the establish a family dimension in the church means there's no orphans. There's no isolated ministers. We are sons and daughters functioning under spiritual fathers, under the king. How is sonship marked? This is so beautiful. Acts 2:17 says, and I shall call, in the last days I shall cause my spirit to be poured out on all flesh. A poured out spirit marks you as a son. Are you guys still okay? Thank you. Can I have 5 more minutes? Just raise your hand if you give me 5, ne? 15, 15, 20, 25. Thank you. In other words, what he says, his sons and daughters prophesy because the Spirit has been poured out. So one of your signs of sonship is that there's a poured out Spirit upon you. In David's tabernacle, only certain, he chose certain family members, but in Christ's body, he says, all believers, sons and daughters, empowered by the Spirit to serve, to prophesy, to carry his presence. We are all called to that. The word says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. There's a dimension of the Spirit that you carry. There's a contrast. He says, servants obey because they fear, but sons walk in intimacy and in inheritance according to the seed. But you can only understand the seed when there's intimacy. You can only receive the seed when there's intimacy. When you are connected, you start seeing that which you are created after, the pattern, the likeness. There's a maturity that needs to come through fathers. Paul says, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. He says, I became your father in Christ through the gospel. Many teachers, but not a lot of fathers. True biblical sonship requires spiritual fathers to raise up sons to maturity. So when God comes and he tells Moses how he needs to build a tabernacle, there's a veil. But when David comes and he builds a tabernacle, it says that there was no veil. And actually, so no veil in the tabernacle. That's why Acts quotes Amos and says, in the last days again, I shall rebuild or restore the tabernacle of David. In other words, what he says is, this no veil foreshadows that sons have direct access to the Father through Christ. Come on. Do you hear this? We're going to use communion in a second. But sons have direct access to the Father. I want to tell you, when you are a son, God calls you as sons, the veil has been removed. The veil has been removed. You have direct access. Listen with your spirit. Don't let time rush you this morning. You have access because there's no veil. There's open access. There's an order. There's worship that's been restored. God wants to restore your worship. Sons were positioned in the prophetic and in service. It shows that maturity and sonship means to walk in order and in responsibility. When there's order and responsibility, not chaos. When we say serve, we have the discover and fundamentals and all these things, and then we say serve. What we're actually saying is this: start walking in your sonship. Start walking in your DNA. Son means builder. Son means example of. So what we're saying is, we don't want to keep you busy. We say, start having your function and your purpose as a son. Start understanding your identity and start multiplying. Start living according to the seed that's within you. It's not to see how busy we can keep you. Do more things. It's only established. Things only happen through sons. We can only build through sons. Things move forward through sons. So when you start functioning and serve, then we move forward. Then you become a mature son. Doesn't he say, sons know the secrets of the fathers. Sons share in the inheritance, not the slave, not the servant. Are you a slave or an orphan? Or do you understand that you are a son? That God wants to share with you intimacies, inheritance. Fathers Asaph and Heman says, they passed their ministry to the sons. That's a pattern of legacy, generational blessings, generational multiplication. God calls you. But you see, only when you start functioning as a son and get to maturity, you can start passing it again to the next. We're going to end off and we're going to seal it in communion this morning. Practical expression, identity. We need to live as heirs, not as orphans. The word says, sons know the voice of the Father. Sons know the voice. They walk in His love. There's order. There's worship and prophecy. In other words, sons minister with skill, prophecy, and spirit-led service, not self-promotion. If you're still self-promoting, it means that you're still an immature son. God wants to mature you to walk in that fullness. Expression of sonship, there's a responsibility. Sons build the Father's house, carry burdens, and they multiply disciples. And lastly, unity. Sons worship together, Jew and Gentile, all nations. God wants to restore something. And we're going to have communion in a minute or so. And I want you to come when we have communion, because it says when we drink the blood and we eat the bread, we partake in His body. And that Jesus, the Son of God, the one as an example, as the first fruits to us. I want you to come today, and maybe your heart is still in a place where maybe you think like an orphan. Maybe you feel not that you belong. That through His blood, He says, we share in a covenant that's better. Enacted on better promises. Better benefits. That today you anchor something in your heart that God calls you as a son. That He says, I have predestined you into the adoption as sons. And that you need to align your thinking and start allowing the heart of the Father to touch you, to heal you. Allow the Father, because fathers establish the identity. Allow the Father to start speaking in your heart, your purpose, your seed, your DNA, so that that what's within you can start to multiply. That what's within you can start to flourish, come to the foreground. Come on, amen. Sonship, and this is the New Testament model, filled with the Spirit, raised by fathers to maturity. You're carrying an inheritance. We're building God's family together. So can you see why I say true sons occupy? You cannot occupy if you don't understand what it means to be a son. Because sons are the ones that build. Sons are the ones that can function in order and in worship and in maturity. Inheritance and multiplication will come. And that's our prayer for you this morning, is that you understand something. Pastor Eckhart said it last week, God's mission has a church. And that's the mission, is to understand your sonship so that the work of the ministry can be done, that it can flow, that His kingdom can expand. Why? So that through everything, He can be glorified. Father, we just come. And as we're going to use communion together, Father, we say thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your body, Jesus. The bread that was given. And that you were crushed and bruised for our iniquities and for our sins. But Father, through the sacrifice of your Son, you brought restitution for sins. And you said through that you brought us into sonship again. And this morning, Father, I speak to every heart and every orphan spirit, and I say, we will silence you and you will be quiet. You will not steal anymore. You will not disgrace anymore. You will not keep people in bondage anymore, but we will walk in the fullness and in the understanding, the revelation of sons of God, that we have something that we carry and that we will produce according to the seed, and that we will multiply and be fruitful and have dominion and occupy the gifts and the space and the place God has given us until He returns. So Father, this morning, because fathers silence the boy, the child in us, so that the son can come forth. And this morning, as a father, we say, come and silence the child within us and let the sons rise, Lord. Let that which you've called us to be rise. But it's only possible through your covenant. And therefore we come and we say thank you for the blood and the bread. And we do this as a family in remembrance of you, Jesus. All the glory and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Maybe this half you can just get your elements, and this half you can get your elements. Thank you for giving time so that we can do this properly.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.